I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
You go right, you go right, you go left, you go right, you go right, you go right, you go left, you go right.
It's time for Touché here on the download. 720 WGN, Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy in studio tonight, ready to argue about the best things.
We're going to talk about the vacation I just got back from.
Yeah. We'll argue about the best game in town. How about that? Yeah. Politics, of course.
Steve Edwards.
I remember that segment.
I would say beyond. Well, we don't get into that.
Let's not
credit where credit's due. Cheryl Corley gets the credit. All right. Let's start with you, Mr. Roebling.
Yes.
Emails. 15,000.
When will it end, Justin? Justin, when will it end?
When can I stop
talking about Hillary in her emails?
Enough
of these damn emails!
If she would just release her emails, then maybe we could. Oh, I'm sorry. So many are classified. She can't release those. No, 15,000. Another 15,000 were, quote, found. And, this is just, it's unseemly and it's unbecoming the office to which she aspires. And, it's raising all these questions about how corrupt the Clinton Foundation / Clinton Global Initiative really were. And I take Rudy Giuliani's view. I mean, it was a racketeering influence, corrupt organization where people were paying money, like convicted money launderers with billions of dollars.
How are you getting emails, though?
Because the only way that...
Are you thinking that's what the stuff is about?
No, the only way that we know anything about the... Because Hillary won't tell us because she doesn't like people to know what she's up to because everything she's up to is so corrupt. The only way we ever find out is when somebody accidentally or on purpose releases her emails. And so the emails give us a view into donors giving money to the foundation or the Clinton Global Initiative. And then staffers calling the State Department and say, hey, this guy gave us a lot of money. He needs consideration at the United States Department of State.
Yeah, that's not actually what happened, but
it happened all the time, and we know it because of the emails, and we've got more emails coming out. We're going to find out a little bit more because Hillary doesn't want to tell us.
I take the Bernie Sanders view. Enough about your damn emails. My biggest frustration on this campaign, other than the failure of Hillary's campaign to get ahead of the email thing early and often and still, is the failure of the Clinton Foundation to do a better job of getting its message out there. The Clinton Foundation is a remarkable organization. When Bill Clinton got out of office, he decided he wanted to make an enormous difference around the globe. They have saved literally millions of lives in Africa due to what they've done on HIV and malaria.
Millions.
Hold
on, let me cue up. It's a Nice World After All.
Millions of people are alive because of the Clinton Foundation, because of their HIV and malaria and other programs in Africa. And they have utterly failed to get that message out in this country. And I just keep waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's just not happening.
Maybe they're not such good communicators after all. The message that I get is one of influence selling, influence peddling, corruption, insider dealing. I mean, this is Clinton 101. None of this has changed. Whitewater in the 90s and the 80s, and now it's the Clinton Global Initiative in the teens and the 10 or whatever. I don't know. Anyway.
Yes, and you're quoting a guy, in Rudy Giuliani, who decided that his best course of action is to say, well, Google Clinton and health and see the videos, because there are videos out there. And I'm just like, Rudy, have you lost all self-respect whatsoever? Are you so angling to be attorney general in a Donald Trump administration that you lost all self-respect? Give me a break. Health thing is the biggest pile of...
Oh, my God.
Well, here again, David, this is exactly what you just diagnosed, if not to use the health analogy too much, but you've already diagnosed the problem. They cannot deal with straight questions. Hillary's never been able to take a straight question. That's why she hasn't had a press conference in 285 days.
Oh, please. She's done more networks, whereas Donald Trump in the last month has been hiding behind the walls of Fox News.
It's more pre-digested.
And almost all of July, he did almost no interviews with anybody other than Fox News.
Because
when he did... Because when he did, he got in trouble with George Stephanopoulos, and he stuck his foot in it in the worst interview of the entire campaign.
Everybody knows that Donald Trump, in those 285 days, has conducted something like, I don't know, 35 open session, stay here as long as you want, any question is fine with me kind of press conferences.
Not
and
anymore.
Hillary hides from those, like vampires hide from direct sunlight. And the point here, getting back to the health issue, all she has to do to solve the health issue conclusively for all time is release her real health, not the phony health records that they're preparing right now. She's got to release her health records, just like Barack Obama did, just like John McCain did.
Right. Just like Donald Trump did when he had that guy who's apparently is dead issue a letter saying that this will be the healthiest man to ever be elected president of the United States.
That guy might be dead, but he'll be voting here in Chicago.
Well, you know, hearing that, I it reminds me of the fervor over Obama's birth certificate. The same, you know, lay it to rest, show us your birth, the real birth certificate. I mean, are we just going down the same sort of storyline?
Well, it's up to Hillary. Just like that was up to Obama. I think we all have our own personal understanding of what was at stake in that birth certificate issue. Leave all that aside. Because
racism.
He was born.
Trump.
I believe, and I said throughout, that Barack Obama, in my opinion, there is no question in my mind that he was born in Hawaii on the date in question, 1961 or whatever it was. Okay. No question about it. Never really any big question about that. But just like Barack Obama didn't get in front of that issue and say, here's what really, he should have gone out there. The governor of Hawaii, by the way, was a very close friend of his at the time. Neil, what's his name?
Yeah.
And he could have had a press conference out there. He could have put the whole thing to rest. But
why?
He
it was
didn't.
A racist attack in the first
no,
place.
It was not.
It was an attempt to say, Barack Obama, you are not an American.
Well,
you're not a real American. You're not a red-blooded American.
You can wallow in 2008 as much as you want. But the question this year
Donald
is,
Trump and his supporters wonder why he has 1% support in the African-American community and think that insane speech last week where he supposedly pivoted and changed tone by saying, the hell is wrong with you people? You're all poor. You're living poverty-ridden, crime-ridden neighborhoods. You've never seen such horrible thing. Vote for me.
Run by Democrats.
And then promise that 95%,
years.
And then promise that in once he's elected in 2020, 95% of African Americans are going to vote for him. No, they won't, because you're a racist.
There it is.
He is not a racist, any more than Dave Lundy is a racist.
I beg to differ, my friend.
Yeah, I know you do. But the truth is,
good
luck on that. The fact is, Hillary can get ahead of, she could have gotten ahead of the email thing. She can get ahead of the health thing. Her health looks horrible. She looks horrible.
She does not look horrible.
She's got all these stools.
Her schedule with Donald Trump's schedule,
she's
where she is going,
every weekend.
Chris.
One day of events, and then she takes 2.5 days
You've
off.
You've got to be kidding
Trump
me.
Trump is out
Donald
there.
Trump insists on going home
and
sleeping in his own bed. You've got to be kidding me. Her schedule is
her
insane.
Her schedule speaks for itself, dude.
All right. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling, I love it. Ding!
Ding.
The bell goes off
for
Touche. That's
ding
the break.
Here,
we got the ding. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll argue some more. Stay with us.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
Touche. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio. All right, let's pick it right back up. The one thing that hasn't been mentioned when we talk about transparency, whether it becomes health or whether it's emails, also tax returns. We can't go much further in this conversation without saying Donald Trump refuses, because he says he's under audit, to release his tax returns. So does he run the risk of being does his surrogates and everyone who's calling for emails and calling for transparency, do they run the risk of being hypocritical?
Slightly. Here's the thing. We have had a really fascinating period since the Republican convention. You've had Donald Trump imploding, just absolutely imploding. And so most of the wounds that he's been that have been inflicted upon him have been self-inflicted wounds.
Goddamn phone is on.
Sorry about that, folks. Chris is grabbing into my pocket. Anyway, so most of the wounds have been self-inflicted wounds on Trump. And the Clinton campaign has been sitting on this gigantic box of Oppo. And one of the things in the box Oppo.
No way. Is that
true? Truth. Absolute.
What's
truth.
Wrong with those people? They ought to be dishing that box stuff out.
And one of the things in the box of Oppo is all the things that are hidden in the tax returns. And so you're going to see them move. And you saw that on the Sunday shows with what Robbie Mook was saying, that they're going to start unloading on Trump in ways that Trump is not going to be able to handle. And it's going to make him crazier and crazier. The whole idea that Donald Trump is going to be sane. The whole idea that Donald Trump is going to be sane between now and 80 days
Chris,
from now.
There's something to be said. There's something to be said that this candidate has proven over time that he has a difficult time staying on message. He gets undisciplined when rattled. I mean, you've talked about it on this segment.
I think
there's something to say about Dave's going to the Democrats are going to come with a lot of baggage at him. He's going to get rattled. What happens then?
Bring it on, baby. Bring it on. This is the general election. Time for all that stuff to come out. And I'm sorry. We forgot to ask Hillary to share with us the pearls of wisdom she bestowed on Wall Street for all those many hundreds of thousands and indeed millions of dollars that she got that she refuses to share with the regular
speeches,
working
right,
people.
Right.
So, I mean, I think the folks on the 40% who are going for Trump are there. The folks on the 40% who are going with Hillary, they're there. The folks in the 20% in the middle probably like listening to guys like Dave and me. I hope they do. Certainly like listening to your program. Just, you know, go back and forth. But what they don't care about Donald Trump's tax return or about Hillary's speech to the Wall Street people. What they care about is, are we going to improve this economy over the stranglehold of regulation and taxes and Obamacare that's been imposed on it by Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton?
Sure. Okay. I think they care about that, Chris. I also suspect they might care if they find out that Donald Trump has paid zero in taxes for the last 8 years. He's given zero in charity. You know, the Washington Post reporter Frank Fahrenthold has been doing a masterful job in investigating Donald Trump's charitable contributions. And do you know what he's found by literally calling hundreds and hundreds of organizations that Donald Trump claims to have supported? He's found zero. He's found zero between 2007 and when Frank Fahrenthold coerced him into giving money.
Why does that matter? Chris just said that.
Because it speaks to his character.
Okay.
And his character and lack
of Hillary's lies speaks to her character.
No, look, tax evasion, paying zero in tax while ordinary Americans are expected to pay taxes, giving nothing in charitable contributions, where all these people who are sitting outside your window, hi, folks, give money to charity. You guys all give money to charity, right?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Well, guess who doesn't give any of his own personal money to charity? Donald J. Trump.
According to Dave Lundy, sitting
no,
here in the studio with no
Fernald
documents.
And Washington Post, I got lots of documents.
All right, so
we'd have documents, Chris.
Wait.
Let's just understand what just happened. I raised the economy, and David wants to talk about rumor and innuendo. And we talk about helping regular American families and households increase their income, have more options for their kids to go to college, have more options for their own retirement, and David wants to bash on Trump.
Let's talk about the economy.
I think you should bash on Trump.
There's a survey of economists today. There was a survey of economists that was released today, and what it found is that 55% said Hillary Clinton would be best for the economy, 15% said Gary Johnson, 15% said don't know. In fourth place was Donald Trump.
I guess they were academic economists working in big universities.
Actually, they were business economists. No, they were business economists working in business because Donald Trump would be horrendous for business.
Yeah, well, I think the American people have a lot more wisdom. As William F. Buckley once said, I would rather be ruled by the first 100 names in the Boston phone book than the faculty over at Harvard Yard. That was William F. Buckley, admittedly a Yale guy, but I take the same position tonight. I would rather be ruled by the first 100 people to walk by outside here than some group of 500 economists that were polled by the Clinton organization. What we've got to get back to is this economy is teetering on the brink of recession. You have global economic indicators that are showing very tough times ahead. And we are going to have to somehow create a rising tide.
And how does Donald Trump propose to do that? How does Donald Trump propose to do it? He has not proposed one concrete action that will actually improve our economy. Oh, no, wait, he has. He wants to impose 40% tariffs, which every economist says is going to cost 3.5 million jobs.
I think
I'm waiting, Chris. That's why I can't wait for these debates. These debates are going to be so much fun because Donald Trump is no deeper than my fingernail.
Donald Trump said one example of Donald Trump's insight, which is totally lost on the Hillary Clintons and her supporters of the world, is the following. I will suspend every regulation that was promulgated in the Obama administration until it proves itself in an actual unbiased cost-benefit analysis.
You know, the only
now,
problem
that is what was supposed to happen under Obama, but since this was the most lawless administration in U.S. history, they simply either didn't do it or they jinxed the results so that they got the answer they wanted.
I wonder if regulation going to play a big role in this election, because it was coming out of 2008 with the real estate and the mortgage and the banking industry where there was no regulation.
There was total regulation.
Well, how did they get
there
around?
There was no regulation.
Okay, maybe there wasn't regulation.
There was inadequate regulation.
There was mistaken regulation. Not inadequate, not absent. It was mistaken.
Actually, I welcome the discussion of regulation. I think we should have that discussion because people would like to know how they keep their meat safe. People would like to know how they keep air traffic control safe. People
or
would
more
like
importantly,
to know
how they keep their money safe.
How they keep their money safe.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that Chris and Donald Trump have of suspending all regulations, and let's just see what happens when the market gets to take care of itself. Guess what, Listeria? Guess what, financial crash? I mean, my God, Chris, you should go for that. In fact, every time Paul Ryan gets out there and says, well, regulation is the problem, you shouldn't have these regulations, I say, great, let's not have the EPA. How has our air improved since the EPA was passed? Let's see. We live in a clean city with breathable air and water you can have sports on in the Chicago River.
The EPA was proposed by a Republican. His name was Richard Milhouse Nixon. He was a Republican president.
Who is rolling over in his grave over what Donald Trump has proposed.
David may not remember that, but that's okay.
Williams Ruckelshaus was the first director of the EPA.
So I haven't met a Republican. I haven't even met a Democrat. The only people I've met who want to repeal all regulations are the libertarians, and we all know they're crazy.
And Donald J.
Well,
Trump.
Let's have that conversation about that. Regulation at a different point. We only have a minute left. This week, what do we expect from both candidates? What do you expect to see?
Well, I'll pick up because you guys were talking on the air earlier about the roiling around. Trump refashioned his campaign last week. And there was, and by the way, in terms of my letter, which I announced on this program 3 weeks ago, I said, you got to get rid of Manafort. He finally got rid of Manafort.
He listened.
You know, okay. And so I don't think he listened. He never heard a word. But in any case, he did do the right thing. So I think there is jostling going on in that campaign. And you've got these two factions. You've got the Kellyanne Conway, and then you've got the Steve Bannon. And those are two very different approaches. But I think they're working together, and I think you've already heard, with Trump apologizing.
He did not apologize. Trump. I resent that anybody in media has said he apologized. He said, basically, well, if anybody was offended, I regret that. And when asked to clarify, Kellyanne Conway was asked, well, what does he apologize for? Well, he regrets if anybody was offended. That is the lamest non-apology in the history of apologies.
Well, David, a Hillary supporter, was not satisfied. I'm shocked. I'm really shocked to hear that. In any case,
who are married know what an apology looks like. And it starts with saying, I am sorry for blank.
What you are seeing today, where several events were canceled, I think is the working out of the new immigration position. And I think that what remains of the old immigration position is going to be fascinating to see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not predicting Trump is going to do, you know, land office business in the Hispanic community. But this is a remolding of the campaign.
What about for Hillary? What does Hillary have to do this week? What do you expect from the campaign moving forward?
I expect the campaign to start leaking out. You'll start to see stories about a variety of Trump scandals, and the iceberg hasn't even been approached on that one. So you're going to start to see a lot more of that. The campaign has just gone up with a devastating ad, again, speaking to the national security question, which basically says one wrong move is going to start a war, and it interspersed things that Trump has said. I think that the more the campaign can focus on Donald Trump's terrifying notion that Donald Trump would be commander in chief and that he should not be in charge of the nuclear weapons, the better off they will be. I think that that's going to continue. But they need to get a positive message out. The Clinton campaign's got to talk about the economy. They have to focus on it. They have to move forward on a dual-track strategy. Fortunately, they have resources and campaign and staff and money to do that. One of the interesting things, by the way, last thing, Donald Trump had said, their campaign had said they had raised $80 million. But when the paperwork was actually filed, it turns out it was 36.
Dave Lundy, Chris Roland, good to see you guys.
Good to see you too.
Monday. We'll reconvene after Labor Day. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right.
Thank you, Justin.
Touche.